Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
And gentlemen, let's get ready to be inspired! Introducing in the red corner, American Tennis! And introducing in the blue corner, your host for American Tennis, Mr. Chuck Creasy! Ladies and gentlemen, time to get in the game.
And hello once again. This is Coach Chuck Creasy, and it's another week of American Tennis. And folks, I apologize that we did not get a program together last week with all of the things going on there. It's a mile a minute. I could not tell you all those stories, but unfortunately, only second time in 3 years that we've missed a program, but we're back, and we plan to be back and plan every week to bring you the latest news and latest happenings and the angle that we bring it to you from, and that angle is that you are to stand up and speak out. We are to stand up and speak out, and everyone should stand up and speak out and say those things that need to be said. Those things that need to be said and should be said, and daggone it, this is the United States of America. And why do we forget that? Why do we forget that? Edmund Burke says that all that it takes for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing. Did you know, if anybody knows this quote, I'm going to give it to you now, and then call in today at area code 714-583-6853, 714-583-6853. 6853. Anybody out there know who said this quote? What good fortune for government that men do not think. What good fortune for government that men do not think. If you know the answer to that quote, call in and let me know. At the end of the show today, we're going to talk about that quote, and we're going to express, and you will be floored whose quote that is. So this is American Tennis. Every week at Wednesday at noon, we come to you on the UR Tennis Network, the letter U, the letter R, the number 10, and the letter S network. Go to your iPad, iPhone, computer, and also you can go to my website, chuckcreasy.net, and get every one of my nearly 200 shows now, and man, that is something that with the computer now, the information that can be kept. But as I've often stated, what the good is having information if you don't know what the information means? Wow. Do we have a problem or what? It's like drinking water out of a fire hose, I always say. It's so much is coming at you, you don't know what water to drink. What water is poisonous? Information is poisonous. What is right? What is wrong? What is in between? Is there a right? Is there a wrong? Nobody knows anymore. Nobody knows what the diamonds are. Nobody knows what the rhinestones are. My mommy used to tell me, and this is, you know, you hear your mother's voice. She died in 1985. I still hear her voice. 87, actually. I still hear her voice. She used to say, son, pray and look for discernment, D-I-S-C-E-R-N-M-E-N-T, the ability to see what's going on below the surface, the ability to see what the truth is, this ability. You need to have a moral compass, or you need to have a set of truths and beliefs that you have so that you can stand up and speak out. My golly. Now, as we go in and talk about tennis today, I wanted to open with this because we're talking about freedom. We're talking about freedom that the United States has. We're talking about freedom. And Thomas Jefferson said that the greatest obedience to God is the greatest resist tyranny. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Tyranny, any type of tyranny, domestic, foreign, any type of tyranny that infringes upon your rights as a citizen of the United States. Thank God we still have the freedom. But, you know, folks, as we go through all of this, I keep thinking that there is a something within all of us that wants the freedom of expression, the freedom to decide. You know, bureaucracies create systems. People do things because they can, not necessarily because it is the right thing to do. Computers have allowed many, many wrong people to have power positions, haven't they? Look, computers are good. I mean, I am one of those older guys. You know, remember now, old-fashioned is not the same as old school. You know, old school is not old-fashioned here. And, old school, there's some good things there. And there's some not so good things there. I realize I'm limited with some of this stuff, and it aggravates you as you get older. But folks, anybody can put anything up there now. Anybody can put what they want on the computer. Anybody, people take things as facts, and important facts as not important. We don't know the difference between diamonds and rhinestones. Discernment is not a skill that children, that people are developing. I fear for our future generations as they have so much thrown at them. Inquisitive minds are being dumbed down. The hunger of an inquisitive mind, quote from the late Clarence Mabry, one of the greatest college tennis coaches of all time. Clarence Mabry, his quote, 1980. As a young coach, I'm sitting in a conference at the U.S. Open National Teachers Conference at the Roosevelt Hotel in New York City. I'm a young coach. I'm sitting in there. And the question comes out to the late, the great Clarence Mabry. At that time, he was not the late. He was just the great, and certainly looked upon it. And this is how fast things change. You all know that Trinity University between 1956 and 76 was top four in the United States every year except one. It is amazing. One national championship in 1972. Shoulda, coulda, woulda won it, I think, another time was 78. 70. And it was a powerhouse, but things changed. But Clarence Mabry was the coach there. And by golly, as a young coach, I'm hanging on to each and every word that he's saying. And Clarence Mabry says, any questions out there? And a person raised his hand and said, Coach Mabry, what is the most important quality of a championship tennis player? He scratches his head and he says, I most certainly believe that it's the hunger of an inquisitive mind. We'll be right back after a commercial. This is Coach Chuck Creasy in American Tennis.
Coach J.P. Weber of the We Coach Tennis Radio Show. In my 30 years experience in coaching tennis, I've never seen a better tennis training situation for children than Coach Creasy's Total Tennis Training Camps. Chuck Creasy has coached them and trained them in every arena from juniors to collegiate to professional tennis, and over 15,000 children have improved their games at his summer tennis camps. Find out more at ChuckCreasy.net. That's ChuckCreasy.net.
And this is Coach Chuck Creasy, and I'm reminding you of our 2015 Total Tennis Training Camps. Now, this is our 40th summer, folks, of doing tennis camps with children. All kids from 7 to 17 can come to our tennis camps, Total Tennis Training, and learn about the physical, the mental, and the emotional development of the tennis player. Parents, coaches, we are the only camp that I've ever heard of in the world that teaches momentum control. This magical power of sports is a reality, and your youngster can learn the 8 important tools of momentum control. See my website at creasy.net, sign up for the camps, get my books. Hey, I'll come to your club or your camp and do a speaking engagement. We're looking forward to seeing you this summer at our camps. And it's American Tennis every week at Wednesday on the UR Tennis Network. Again, you can go to your iPhones, your iPads, go to ChuckCreasy.net, get every upload from the program. We've had a bunch of them over the last 3 years, a bunch of controversial topics. We always ask you to address issues, not people, and no man can find fault. Edmund Burke. All that it takes for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing. But who said, what good fortune for government that men do not think? Know the answer to that. Call in today, air code 714-583-6853. I'd love to get you on there. We're talking about freedom today, and we're also talking about recent mandates, end runs, sleight of hands, mysterious non-transparencies that the ITA has done over the past 2 to 3 years. And we can call out that organization. This is a bureaucracy now. It used to be a coaches association. Should be, could be, would be, and needs to be a coaches organization where it represents the coaches and the players. We have statistics over and over the statistics. And these do not need to get lost in history. Anywhere that five times they've gone against what the coaches want, and now they've made an unbelievable move without even consulting any coaches, without even a presentation. They selected a new leader, and I am not you're disappointed in the leadership, you're outraged at the action. Person, you're just sort of saying, what in the world is going on in our country with tennis? You know, we're not Russia. We're not France. We're not Sweden, Germany. I don't care what Spain is doing. Do you care? Do you really care out there what Spain is doing? Fine, good. Bring them on. Dang it, we need some rivalries. Maybe that'll get light some the starch in somebody's shorts and get somebody fired up to get something going. Awful. We're not those countries. We're the United States of America, and it is the worst thing possible, whether it's the red, orange, green mandate, ITA, NOAA mandates, putting in a new CEO appointment without the will of the people. What is the goal of the ITA? I want to ask you out there, anybody know what the goal of the ITA is? Is the coaches organization anymore, or is it the dictatorial head of all of college tennis throwing their weight around, their influence? You know, the power is implied. It is not exact. Remember this, folks. We work, every coach, which I'm one, we work for our university first, our colleges first. Then we work for that organization and abide by the rules of our conference. Then we abide by the rules of the NCAA. The ITA is a union, a coaches organization. They call themselves the ruling body of tennis, of college tennis. Why? Under whose order? It's unbelievable. Just really is unbelievable. Get back before the break. Let's talk about Clarence Mabry. This all ties in together, and it's about freedom. It's so much bigger than just, hey, hoopla, hey, let's make college tennis popular. This is an infringement on your freedom, whether it's red, orange, green. By the way, why did they make it red, white, and blue balls? Red, white, and blue balls. Why red, orange, and green? Because Sweden does it? Because England does it? I'm not against those people. Nobody is. But by God, I love my country first. This is American tennis. This is the United States of America. Love every contribution that Harry Hopman has made, or Robert Lansdorf has made, or Dennis Vandermeer has made. I love every contribution, every college player who's come here as a foreign player to play college tennis makes. I love every contribution they make, if they make a contribution and don't take and go back home. I love the contributions. One of my most dear friends, played at Lander University, and I've been friends for 30 years, and he came from Croatia, and he's a dear, dear friend of mine. And I love the contributions he's made to our society. He stayed in the upstate, teaches, coaches, and imposes his competitive fire, has more fire, more starch in his shorts, more competitive desire than 10 youngsters out there right now. I love the man and his family. And you're listening out there, you know who you are. You listen to my show sometimes, but saw him the other night. But I love these people, but I am not about to cash in the American way of life for somebody else's. Red, orange, green. Let's make it red, white, and blue. Would that win more people over? Hey, how about it, folks? Red, white, and blue balls. What do you think? What do you think? We're for freedom. Clarence Mabry, 1980. National Teachers Conference, New York City, Roosevelt Hotel. What is the most important quality of a championship tennis player? Coach Mabry scratches his head. Well, I most certainly believe. Now you've got to understand, sitting out there, young coaches like myself are thinking, big forehand. Isn't that the way to go now? Big first strike forehand. Conditioning, fitness, mental toughness. He said, I most certainly believe it's the hunger of an inquisitive mind. Is that brilliant or what? That's a diamond that I've kept for 35 years on the tip of my tongue when I teach young people. The hunger of an inquisitive mind. We are the product of our upbringing. Our young people are the product of their upbringing. And the sadness, with great sadness, is the fact that our young people are not thinking. Who said what good fortune it is for government that men do not think? That starts with children not thinking. Our children with the computers now, our children with the second or the not the proactive but the reactive reactions to questions, looking everything up on Google. Our children don't think, they don't search for knowledge, they don't search for solutions, they don't search for answers. The hunger of an inquisitive mind is being dumbed down. You know, most of you probably know this analogy, but when you get a baby elephant, you tie a big stake to the baby elephant. And it tries to move, then can't move it. And then when it gets to be a big, big, big elephant and could tear down houses or buildings, use a little bitty stake, and that elephant is just fine, being dumbed down because that's what he knows. I don't know if this is true, but I was told once that when you can train fleas, you put fleas in a jar, and fleas can jump 3 feet. But if you put a lid on the top of the jar, they jump up, hit their heads. And if that jar is only 12 inches high, you can take the lid off the jar, and those fleas are trained to jump this 12 inches. Amazing! But human beings are the same. Our children are being trained this way. It's no fault of yours or mine, or even, you know, the people will say, well, that's just progress. Well, okay, it's progress. But beware, with every good thing, there comes a catch. And the catch to the good thing of the computers and all the information and everything is the fact that our children are not developing those inquisitive minds that Coach Clarence Mabry talks about, ask for. So here's what we have. We have a reactionary society. And when you have dictatorial mandates that are done by an organization that is pretty much trying to get their umbrella or their tentacles. Does that mean to say tentacles around people? Well, I don't know. USTA, tell me if I'm wrong. Call in. But it seems to me you're trying to pick up the USPTA. Are you trying to pick up the USPTR too? Boy, Dennis Vandermeer would not like that. Are you trying to pick up college tennis as well? Boy, I've seen a lot of USTA people in the college tennis meetings. USTA representative got up recently, and he was making all of the big statements for why no ad was going to make the match under 2 hours, and we're going to get hordes of television and crowds, and this was going to be beneficial for all. And I don't care how fiery of a speech that is. It's, again, goes back to the thing, what good fortune it is for government or organizations or bureaucratic organizations that men do not think. If you're a young coach, you go and you sit in a meeting and you say, you just sort of want to be liked. Keep your mouth shut and make sure that people don't form an opinion. Then if they say something you like, you'll join in and you will say, hey, yeah, I agree. And then people like you. Then when things do bother you, or have you already become that elephant that was put down with a big stake and you operate? Have you already been pushed into your box? Have you already been had your inquisitive mind amputated, your questioning mind? Folks, this is much, much bigger than tennis, what's going on. We're going to get to the whole root of everything that's happened this last week. But this is very, very, very important. Your ability to discern, D-I-S-C-E-R-N, to see underneath, a little bit higher than cliches and facts, but opinions, feelings, and needs, to find deeper things is the most important. Freedom. Freedom. What is freedom? People say, well, we have freedom in the United States. Isn't it a democratic process? Well, leadership is different, comes in different forms. All of us would want a leadership that inspires us. It touches our heart, where we follow out of choice. Now, we have leadership by choice, and that's leadership by example. And this is the type of leadership where we see a great leader and we're inspired, and we say, wow. If you look at some of our religious leaders, and you think about the tremendous paradox or tremendous, I don't know what you would call them, it's just beyond belief that people would follow some of our religious leaders. Or think of Gandhi or Martin Luther King in passive ways of influencing people's hearts. They talked about why they believed in things and why this should touch your heart and why this is important. And people followed. And it wasn't that they got great marketing programs and they came up with hoopla and tried to push things that did not touch the heart. I always said that, people will die for a cause, but they will not die for money or fame. We push money, fame, and those things you can get out of tennis. We need to be pushing why you would play tennis. Why? All of the great leaders of all time, they gave us this deeper, deeper thing that touched our hearts. How many of you out there started playing tennis for deeper things than money or for fame or for rankings? Folks, I've got an article coming out, and I'm trying to get it done this summer. Okay, get ready now. Get ready. I don't want this taken out of context. I hope this won't just be a sound bite and they cut out the last part of this. But the free drugs that I got from playing tennis as a boy, dopamine, adrenaline, and endorphins. Dopamine. I crave dopamine rushes that I get from a hug from my children, a song that makes me think of my father and my mother that are passed away. I still get a dopamine rush when I hit a tennis ball with a wood racket. Last week I got to play on a red clay, and I sliced backhands for 30 minutes with a friend, and the dopamine rush was better than daggone anything I could imagine that I could say to you. I can't express everything here on the air, but what a great dopamine rush I got. Hitting a bad jump shot from 25 feet out that doesn't hit the rim. Those things that touch your heart, the dopamine rush, is what we should be teaching as far as why. The adrenaline. Folks, the adrenaline is like a tank. And I think, I really, really believe that the excitement and the adrenaline from competing, when your tank is empty, it's empty. Now, the dopamine rush, I believe, grows exponentially. I believe that it becomes the greatest addiction in the world, and you will be more passionate about tennis, more passionate about your children, more passionate about things that you do when you fall in love with them and you get dopamine rush from them. It grows exponentially, but your adrenaline's different. It's like a tank. Tell me if you agree with this. I mean, your tank, once it's out, it's out. And some people just have a small tank. They don't like competing. Some people have a big, big tank and compete all their lives. Most of us compete about half our lives and say, whoa, man, that tank is dry. It is time to look for other things in life. And then there's endorphins. Folks, endorphins are, you have to be in good enough shape to get any type of an endorphin rush. There's a saying that you've got to be in shape to get in shape. And, man, as we get older, it is just tough to be in shape, and then you can't even work out hard enough to get any type of endorphin rush. And if it was any kind of an endorphin rush, most people would be thinking it was a heart attack or something coming, and so you get a little bit afraid of going there. But how about that? So that is really, really a huge point about why people do things. But people will do things that are cause driven, that give them that are much deeper than what and how. Why is important, and what and the how are just not as important. And therefore, you know, we need to be led and inspired by our leaders. So as we're talking about the three types of leadership, by choice, by example, those are critical. Now, there's persuasive leadership where people talk you into doing something for a time being, and I think that's people in the middle. But again, that's the second most powerful. Leadership by example, by choice, but then persuasive leadership is second. But folks, what's going on right now, coercive leadership by some of our governing bodies is it's not right. And that's about as simple as I can say. It is a bad thing. You know, life is very soft-spoken. And about 15 years ago, we had a dog that barked a lot, and we were living in a situation where we had a condo and stuff, and the dog was barking too much. This what we used to call condo commandos. You know what I'm talking about? The retired Army guy who is frustrated now that there's not too much to be in charge of, and the old condo commando will come down and say, okay, regulation number 52 in our condo book says this. Regulation 59 says this. And by the way, you're out of regulation, and we know that you pay $3,000 a month or $1,000 a month or whatever. However, the regime says that this is the rule. Well, anyhow, you got it. But the condo commandos came down, and he got all over my sweet wife. And my wife has this nice thought. She says, you are a very mean man. And I cracked up. I held my stomach. I could not keep from laughing myself to death right in the guy's face. And it just made the condo commando meaner. But the thing is, we need to be able to stand up and be able to say, you're a very mean person. You are not a nice man. You know, you're not acting the way you should act. And we don't need to be vindictive. We don't need to get revenge, but we do need to stand up and speak out. So what's going on? Well, this week, the ITA announced they have a new CEO. The CEO, former music professor, some interest in tennis, no coaching experience, no college coaching experience, been on a lot of committees. Does this sound familiar? Does this sound familiar to any of you? These are the kind of people that get into positions of power on these committees. And these, you know, there's this saying, this is a great saying. A friend of mine once said that, you know, number one people will hire number one people, but number twos hire number threes. And it is in situations that are so critical, and this makes sense, doesn't it? A number two person wants people around them that feel some insecurities, feel some gaps, sort of falls in line, lockstep. And I'm not afraid to tell you, look, I was on the National Junior Competition Committee for 2 years, and I spoke out, and I said what I was going to need to be said, and do you know what happened? All of you, look, out there, do you think I was asked back? You know, my wife is very, very happy that I'm not spending all those hours anymore digging deep and caring a whole lot about what's going on with our kids and the policies, but my golly, they do not want opposition. They do not want the voices that stand up and speak out. And, you know, again, you know, it's so much deeper than just tennis. You know, I told a friend yesterday I called a couple of my friends and said, did you believe what the ITA has just done? Do you believe this? You know, once again, and let's stop right here a minute, folks. I want you to understand something. I'm not on a witch hunt of any type, and I do not think that I'm smarter than somebody else or whatever. And so, in saying this, if the ITA, I really, gave them the benefit of the doubt. I thought that at the ITA meeting this year at the NCAA tournament that they would bring four or five candidates in front of us and say, here are four or five candidates. We're going to let them talk for 2 or 3 minutes and say why they want to be the CEO for the ITA and state their purposes and let us get to know them a little bit. Let us talk to them a little bit. Then allow us to at least have a straw poll. At least have us have some voice, state our opinions, ask some questions. And do you think that that happened? Absolutely did not. Absolutely did not. Once again, coercive leadership over leadership by example. Not even persuasive leadership. It's just flagrant right now. The ITA just 4 times this last in the NOAD scoring versus traditional scoring battle. They just basically said you have to do this and in our tournaments. So what's other organizations will spring up. Organizations are coming to light. Other organizations, other way of doing things with people who do not want to abide by the tyranny and the coercive leadership of this organization will spring up. And you know, they're so, so silly. I'm not going to call them that other S word. I don't want to do that. But they're so silly. All they needed to do was show some democratic process and that we are behind you, coaches. We are behind the players. You know, the players, oh, golly, the statistics here, they're not. I've got the statistics right in front of me. Look up, folks, on Zoo Tennis Tuesday, February 10th, 2015. If you want all the statistics, look to all of the statistics put out there by the amount of players that said we want traditional scoring, men and women. Women coaches overwhelmingly and men's coaches, of course, I think it's 57 to 43 wanting still traditional. And with all of the propaganda, all of the promotion, all of the strong arm tactics, all of the bullying, all of the coercive leadership, all of the arrogance by the organization, all that, there's still some coaches holding firm. But they will push it, and they will keep pushing it and using their power for those things. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. All they would have needed to do is bring those candidates in front of everybody and say, these are our candidates. Please vote. They could have even come back and say, you know what? Our candidate was the third most votes, but let us explain to you why we decided on this person. And even just to have some input, you could have said, okay, let's give him a try for a year or her a try for a year. Let's go ahead and at least give them the benefit of the doubt. There are some good people. There are some well-meaning people. But once again, this was a end run, sleight of hand, and daggone it, just the wrong thing to do. In ITA, come on, you guys know it. You guys know it. Only thing you have over people where they won't stand up is fear. But tennis people out there, this is tennis. This is not life or death. It's not your children. It's not the United States of America versus a foreign aggressor. This is within our ranks. What do you think foreign or domestic means? What do you think domestic tyranny is? What do you think it means? If we can't stand up to something in tennis, shameful, shameful. Do you not love the game more than this? What in the world are you thinking if you don't stand up and speak out? And I'm not just saying get on the Facebook thing and poke out an opinion. Look, be kind. Address issues, not people. That's all you have to do. You can address these organizations. You can address any organization you want. But I'm telling you, the Tea Party of tennis is alive and well, and it will be organized, and it is coming to your theater soon. It will be coming soon. There is a Tea Party. By the way, Tea Party, taxed enough already. You guys know that. Tea Party's been demonized a lot out there. But anyhow, they at least are standing up and speaking out. And we need a Tea Party in tennis, and we've got one. and it will be coming, rising up stronger and stronger and stronger. Again, people will die for a cause. They will not die for money or fame, and they will not follow coercive leadership or strong-arm tactics. You can get someone's body. You never will own their mind, their heart, their soul, or their deepest thoughts. Right now, the ITA, do you hear me, ITA? You have people's bodies, and you have people lockstepping in order, and you might get everybody fall in line like little baby chicks. You might have that just following around. But beware, this is not the way inspiration happens. This is not the way for longevity. This is not the way to go with it. We'll be right back in a minute with the last few minutes of American Tennis. Coach Chuck Creasy.
Coach J.P. Weber of the We Coach Tennis Radio Show. In my 30 years experience in coaching tennis, I've never seen a better tennis training situation for children than Coach Creasy's Total Tennis Training Camps. Chuck Creasy has coached them and trained them in every arena from juniors to collegiate to professional tennis, and over 15,000 children have improved their games at his summer tennis camps. Find out more at ChuckCreasy.net. That's ChuckCreasy.net.
This is Coach Chuck Creasy, and did you know that 72% of all professional athletes come from towns and communities less than 50,000 people? Wow, are you kidding me? This is the truth. Also, we have 350,000 youngsters playing high school tennis, but only 18,000 are playing tournaments. What? We have a disconnect here. The sleeping giants in your community, in our community in the United States, is not the most obvious place for tennis. Help that child that is right in front of you. Turn them on to tennis. Lead them to a backboard. Just do the next right thing with that youngster, and that is your circle of concern right in front of you. Your circle of influence becomes your circle of concern if you will help a youngster learn how to play tennis. Then encourage them to help two or three. Then help them teach the others to lead more, and you'll have a tennis community in a hurry. Everybody needs to be in the game if we're going to rise again as a tennis power.
Made in America, born in a hot land, raised up a family.
And this is Coach Chuck Creasy back with American Tennis. We're talking about freedom today. We're talking about the difference between coercive leadership versus persuasive leadership versus leadership by example and leadership by choice, following somebody by choice. We have a great danger of becoming a country that is not completely democratic. Are we there yet? We surely might be. We surely might be. But once again, I want to put that quote out there. What good fortune for government that men do not think. We need all of you to think. And if you disagree, call in, area code 714-583-6853. And let us know what you think. We need you to stand up, speak out, stay professional, address issues, not people. Edmund Burke said, all that it takes for evil to prosper is for good men, good people to do nothing. Folks, we've had the No Lab crammed down our throats this last 3-4 years by the USTA. This is a movement. This is part of a big, big movement that started somewhere. And I don't want to put it on any particular individual, but I have heard that it's some 3 or 4 progressive thinkers out in the West out there in one of the sections. And perhaps I believe it is true, maybe I'm wrong, that our newly named, appointed, anointed, and disappointing, I hope not, And, folks, I'll come back on and eat my words if this thing turns out good. I will. I'm hoping I'm wrong. I am hoping I'm wrong. But I think our new CEO of the ITA is one of these guys. The NOAAD people, the abbreviated scoring people, should I say the people who are dumbing down the greatest sport in the history of the world? Easy to pick up, easy to put down. Hard to pick up is hard to put down. But the NOAAD scoring has been being pushed here on us, and it's been not just that, it's the 10-point tiebreakers. Raise your hand if you like 10-point tiebreakers. Is that question ever asked? No, it's not. It's not, because nobody, everybody hates it. Everybody knows the tournament director likes it. All of the learning takes place in the third set of matches. Anybody that's played any tennis of any consequence understands this. Community tennis, participation tennis, all of this is good and well, and you can get by with 10-point tiebreakers, but not with our children. You can get by with NOAAD scoring, with participation events, old people events, beginner events, but everybody knows that the learning takes place in the war zone games and the long games. When you have NOAAD, you have points between 4 and 7 points. Like so many aspects of the game of tennis that just so look so simple on the outside. And the complexity, the intrigue of the scoring system gives it depth. We need to have the depth of the sport that makes it hard to pick up and extremely hard to put down. All of us who have been in tennis for many, many, many years hate the relationship, love the relationship, but we stay with the relationship because of its depth. The multiple levels and challenges of the scoring system and the levels of the sport are unmatched in any sport. Why would we abbreviate? What are these people's agenda? Now, they are well-meaning, the progressivist administrators. And look up the word of progressive. If you will look this up, it comes up in a book, and it's basically the definition. And in a book I was written in 1955, followers of, and I'm not accusing anybody, but it was just followers, progressive movement, basically are those people that were being called out in 1955. It means just basically an upending of the system. An upending of the system. No ads scoring in tennis. First of all, number one, it's not a rule of tennis. Abbreviated forms do not sustain or inspire players for the long run. Look, the scoring system and format are two different things. It always aggravated me that they would come out with this flimsy excuse. USTA guy and ITA guy saying, oh, gosh, going to make it exciting. You know, it's going to make it exciting. Let's make it shorter. Well, for TV. Okay, that's the big hook for TV. Well, have your entertainment format for TV. You can still use formats different than scoring system anyway. NOAAD devalues the elements of conditioning and endurance. Isn't this a sport where you get in shape and you want to be in shape, and being in shape gives you the edge? The edge, isn't that? Now, why in the world are we getting away from it? Well, if you watch Djokovic play Wawrinka or Nadal or somebody on TV, you almost stand up cheering at the end because you're proud to be in tennis by the time the fitness those guys are in. It's going to be a long, long time for USA as anybody of that toughness. Look, people might win in straight sets in the USA, some of our players, because they get hot, but nobody's suffering enough to win that long, long five-set match. I will stand up and applaud whoever trains the first USTA guy to win a tough five-set over a Wawrinka or a Djokovic or Nadal. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see the three-set quick deal in the Grand Slam or first two sets to serve somebody off the court. I want to see the toughness element there. NOAAD promotes skewed results. My golly, folks, this year Tulsa beat Southern Cal. I just recently spoke to Coach at Southern Cal, and I said, hey, man, Tulsa does not beat Southern Cal in regular score. I'm sorry, that doesn't happen. Tulsa people out there listening, sorry, it's not a slam on your great program, but sorry, 51 doesn't beat 1. That doesn't happen unless you got some kind of hocus-pocus show going on called no-ad scoring. Skewed results. It's sort of a arena football type deal. And who knows who's going to win? And some people say, I like skewed results. I like parity. Not without skill set. Not without doing the work. Not without the fitness. Then you don't have an accurate barometer. What kid wants to train his rear end off and get strong and fit and then find out it doesn't even matter? Number 4, no ad accelerates the parity. That's what we're talking about, between pecking order levels without the mastery of skill set usually required for advancement. Number 5, the deciding point in no ad is really worth 2 games. Talked to a coach last night about the unbelievable amount of cheating that's going on in college tennis. It is beyond belief. Why? That last point in no ad is really 2 games. Everyone knows this at 4-2. It's either 5-2 or 4-3, isn't it? It's 2 games. But it's the same thing the first game of the match. If you get a net court and I don't, it's going to take me 2 games to get 1 game ahead. That 1 point decided that. But folks, listen, the cheating has gotten rampant. And no matter, the referees have just become the policemen on the corner that everybody tries to manipulate. I'm not pay off, but manipulate or just try to get them to sigh in. But the big losers are our players. Our players are not learning the true meaning of sportsmanship and playing by the code. Most, if you ask people what the code is who play tennis now, they don't have an idea. Too many referees, too many police on every corner. Remember, regulation and rules never keep a bad person from breaking rules. Regulation and rules only stimulate the levels of deviancy in a bad person. The tragedy is that too many regulations, too many rules, mainly because we can, not because it's the right thing to do, but too many regulations, too many rules impede the creative initiatives and tendencies of good people trying to do the right thing. Bad people aren't going to be stopped no matter how many rules you have. Just remember that next time you play that 3-3 point or 40-all point, it's not excitement. It's lunacy. Number 6, no ad eliminates the learning of war zone endurance. Listen to that term. I want it out there. War zone endurance. Next time you see a 22-point game where Djokovic wins a 22-point game and he's 2-2 in the first set and then he quickly wins 2-1. That one war zone endurance broke the back of the poser who looks like they shoulda, coulda, woulda been good if they just done their fitness. Shoulda, coulda, woulda been good if they just followed through and learned the game to a deeper level. But the war zone endurance needs to be used and try to be worked in, and it must be respected first. Ha! It's frustrating as a coach to see war zone endurance. Are our players tougher now? Forget how many are playing. Are they tougher? No. No, they're not. No ad promotes random momentum swings and negates the small differences between players' skill sets based that normally is a big advantage as the match progresses. If you have a little bit of an advantage as a player, I have a slice backhand and you don't, by the time that third set comes, oh, do we play third sets? Not many. But the time, let's say the end of the second set comes around, an hour into the match, my slice has big, big impact on that match. My kick serve, my more first serves, and the percentages. No ad just eliminates the small differences, or the small advantage differences make big advantages later and later in the match. Number 8, at its highest claim, no ad is promoting the excitement instead of the more enduring element of drama.
You ever seen an Alfred Hitchcock movie? Go back and watch any of them, all of them. The intrigue is incredible. The scary movies, just the intrigue that he builds, the drama. The drama is what makes our sport great. Why can't you guys see that? It's not excitement. Excitement is like a roller coaster. You get on it the first time, you're scared out of the mind, you're peeing your britches. Sorry, use your bathroom, you wet your britches. You wet your britches. I just gave my kids a lecture at home about saying that word, P-E. It sounds bold, bad. And you wet your britches. You're so, oh, it's so scary. The second time, you say, oh, I did better. I did wet my britches. Third time, you say, oh, man, I wasn't so excited. Fourth time, you just let us move on to the Ferris wheel. Excitement dwindles with each occurrence. Drama intensifies with each denial. It's not about excitement, folks. It's about drama. The overwhelming majority of players are opposed to the way it's scoring. Folks, this is administrators screwing up the game. ITA, you're screwing it up. You're screwing it up. Why? Because you're getting some type of influence from somewhere. It's not from the players. It should be from the players and the coaches. It should not be from groups that give you some stipends or influence or power or popularity or you're in cahoots with. Yeah, no, no, no. The players want this? No. Do coaches want this? No. Why are you doing it? Enough said there. To abbreviate the change on the scoring system of tennis is a political overreach for immediate gain instead of just a simple honoring the game. If you honor the game will honor you. We are not honoring the game will not honor us. Before I go today, I will promise you that if this turns out where I'm wrong, what they've done. No, even if it turns out great, it's the way that the ITA did it. Again, these guys should never, ever do things in such a sneaky way. Another sleight of hand. Another one. Seen it for so long. If this guy turns out great, I'll give him credit for being great. He got in there the wrong way, though. He got in there the wrong way. It's real simple. What good fortune for government when men do not think? Quote from Adolf Hitler, 1920s. Folks, stand up, speak out, say what needs to be said, address issues, not people. No one can find fault. It makes organizations great when we have some adversarial voices, controversial voices, devil's advocate voices. Number one people out there, hire number one people that want your job, that are as good as you at the job, that make you look better. Power supply that does not have to be exhibited. The key to power is empowering people under you. Folks, we'll be back next week from the NCAA tournament. We need your help, everybody's help, to bring American tennis back.
Made in America. Semper Fi tattooed on his lip song. Spent a little more in the store for a tag in the back of this USA. Won't buy nothing that he can't fix. With WD-40 and a Craftsman wrench, he ain't president. He's just made in America. Made in America.
Coach Chuck Creasy reminding you that you are in the process of winning or losing every day of your life, and it has very little to do with a win or a loss. Thanks very much for listening. See you next week.
Opinions stated by various contributors to the UR Tennis Network and its programming are not to be considered as endorsed by the UR Tennis Network. Participants are encouraged to use their own discernments and draw their own conclusions. All information, products, and services offered by the UR Tennis Network are for personal use only. The UR Tennis Network does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of information contained within the network. Any products or services provided for should be used solely for entertainment purposes. We emphasize the idea of keeping an open mind and not construing the products, services, or data as factual.